We begin the current daven sefer Zivam is daven zayin. We begin four lines down from the top of the Yamad. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daven. And that is again as our Masechta opened up. It's telling about 15 women that the mitzvah of Yibam will not apply to them. And that's because they are arayis. And we learn out from a pasuk as the Braisa brings that it says Aleha by Achais Isha. It says Aleha by the mitzvah of Yibam. So that comes to tell you that even in the makam of mitzvah of Yibam, as the pasuk is saying, it says Isha l'achais le'sikach, he should not take one of the arayis, even though there's a mitzvah of Yibam. To which the Gemara's question was, why do you need a pasuk? Why would we think you could do the mitzvah of Yibam if you're going to be violating Aloysa se sheyesh bekaris? Even though we found sources for asid de chaloise, that a positive commandment will override a negative prohibition, but who said that it would override a negative prohibition that has the punishment of karis if one violates it, which is the case by these 15 women? So the Gemara on the previous daf and on this daf is continuing the search, looking for a source, why would we need aleha? Which the Gemara assumes is because we would have assumed without aleha, you would say, that the positive commandment of Yibam would override the negative prohibition, even a negative prohibition that's so strong and severe that there's a punishment of karis. And that is where our Gemara continues, because in the previous stav, the Gemara attempted to bring a source for this. And the attempt was by regarding the isra of lisavara esh b'chol meshveseichem, the one's not allowed to kindle a fire in all your dwelling places, which the Braisa had brought, that there was a debate, a discussion about exactly is this prohibition everywhere, even in Bezdin, or is it only everywhere else but not in Bezdin? That is, Bezdin is allowed to execute a murderer by killing him, which one of the mises Bezdin is that of Sreifa. Sreifa, to burn someone, they don't burn his body, rather they take lead and they melt it down, which in that process you do Bishel, you're cooking the lead, and then they pour down his throat. So that, the Pasuk concludes, as the Braisa brings, that, no, b'chol meshveseichem, even though we see the term meshaveis means bezin, you cannot go ahead and burn and cook the lead to execute somebody on Shabbos. That's forbidden. So the Gemara says, well, if you need a pasuk to tell you that you cannot, obviously you would have assumed that you could. Well, how could you do that? To cook on Shabbos, where you're cooking the lead, is a loisa se sheyesh bekaris, is a punishment of karis if one does one lamatez melachos on Shabbos. So obviously, we would have thought that v'humas, the positive commandment to execute a murderer, someone that has to get mises bezin on Shabbos, will override the loisa se sheyesh bekaris of cooking on Shabbos. And that's the source why we needed the pasuk of Aleha to tell you that in the context of Yibam, it's going to be forbidden, like we tell you in the context of the Mises Bezin that the pasuk tells you it's forbidden. Because without it, we would think that Aseh would be Doicha Leisa Ishish Bekaris. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not why we need the pasuk over there, because we would have thought that it's permitted based on Aseh Doicha Leisa Ishish Bekaris, but rather because of a Kavu Chaymer. And that is, a Kavu Chaymer is that if Avodah, the service in the Beis HaMikdash, is more stringent than the mitzvah of Shabbos, in the sense that they bring karbanos on Shabbos, which are in violation, seemingly, of many different malachas on Shabbos, yet the Avodah overrides that. And Ritzicha, the execution of a murderer, overrides doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. As the Pasuk says, you take a kohen away who wants to do the Avodah to execute him if he's a murderer. Well then, if Shabbos gets overridden by the Avodah, and Avodah gets overridden by the execution of a murderer, well, that's why we would say that Shabbos would get overridden, meaning that Bezdin could execute a murderer, because if it's stronger than Avodah, which Avodah is stronger than Shabbos, well, then definitely Avodah, that Shabbos itself will get overridden by the execution of a murderer. And that's why we needed to have a pasuk, not because we would have thought it's permitted based on Aseid Dechaleis Yesh Bekaris, that there is no source for that, and they were still on the hunt looking for a source for that, to know why we need Aleha. Rather, it's based on the Kavu Chaymer. Now, and that's where our Gemara continues and says as follows. If that's the explanation, that it's not a good source for Aseid Dechaleis Yesh Bekaris, that's not why we would have assumed. Rather, it's the Kavu Chaymer. So the Gemara wants to understand now the Bryce's, the way it phrases the back and forth. And how do we understand the Bryce? Since you just explained that we would have assumed that it's permitted based on Al-Kal V'Chaymer, again, not because of Aseh D'Chaloise, so that how could the Bryce then continue and say, well, maybe not true. Maybe even Mises Bezin will not be Doichadat, and as without a Pasuk, why would we have assumed that it's not going to be Doicha? You just said, Shabbos is lower down than Avodah. Avodah is lower down than execution of a murderer. So, of course, why shouldn't Bezin be allowed to execute a murderer on Shabbos. So ultimately, there's a pasuk fine, but the way the Brayis is said it was the Brayis is said it in the way of a question. So we have two seemingly conflicting pesukim. We have one pasuk that says you're not allowed to do malachas on Shabbos. We have another pasuk that says that Beis Din should execute, which would sound like even weekday and Shabbos. So the question went back and forth in the sense of, I would think you do it on the weekday and on Shabbos. Then it says, no, maybe even Mrs. Beis Din should not be done on Shabbos. And then it ends, no, maybe it should be done on Shabbos. And then the pasuk they bring, the Brayis brings the pasuk by saying that no, you don't do it on Shabbos. The Issa Lusavar is even Mechomesh Vasechim, even with a Beis Din. The question the Gemara is asking now is, what do you mean? You have a full-fledged Kal Vachomer. Okay, so there's a pasuk, fine, that would be the conclusion. What's the back and forth? What's the, or maybe not, maybe it shouldn't be Deicha. Why shouldn't it be Deicha? So the Gemara says, Hachikama. The Brayis is understood as follows. Kavuras meis mitzvah teichiach, because we could refute this Kal Vachomer and saying that's not true. Not necessarily because execution of a murder overrides Avodah, which Avodah is stronger than Shabbos, that we should then say, based on this Kal Vachomer, that for sure, execution of a murder should override Shabbos and that they should be allowed to kill someone on Shabbos in seeming violation of Havara or Bishul, because we find by a mes mitzvah, which that's someone that doesn't have anyone to bury him, no relatives around, he's just out there and no one is available to bury him, with halacha is shadeiche es Avodah. Whereas we're going to explain shortly, as the Gemara says in the first Perek Masechta Megillah, from a word v'lachoisoi and his sister, where we find that if someone has the avodah to do to bring a carbon to the Beis Hamikdash, but there's a mes mitzvah, a corpse lying there on the road, no one to bury him, we say go bury the mes mitzvah and don't do the avodah. Yet ve'ein adoiches haShabbos. However, a mes mitzvah, if let's say it's on Shabbos and you find someone there that needs to be buried, you're not allowed to bury him on Shabbos. And therefore, the same logic could apply to Ritzicha, to the execution of a murderer. That although the execution of a murderer overrides the service of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, but who said necessarily that it would be Deicha Shabbos? Because we see by Meis Mitzvah that it overrides the Avodah, but it doesn't override Shabbos. Now, this the Braisa then goes back and says, no, maybe it's not true. Maybe that we should go ahead and execute on Shabbos. What's that? That's Hadar Amar, that's what the Braisa says and goes back and says, well, maybe Kvuras Meis Mitzvah, maybe it's actually not like that. Maybe the burial of a corpse that is a mitzvah to bury him itself, maybe you're right. Maybe it should be Tidcha Shabbos Mekavachemer. Maybe there we should also say Kavachemer, that just like Uma Avodah Shidecha Shabbos, because if we find that doing the, bring a carbon, let's say, which requires slaughtering, many different malachas of Shabbos, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, it overrides Shabbos. Well then, kavuras meis mitzvah deicha oisam. Well then, burial of a mitzvah corpse should also be deicha, and it's deicha da avoda mevelachis, as we had mentioned before. Now this explanation, Rashi brings in Masechtas Brachas of Yotes and Mabez, where he explains at length, and he says that how do we know that to bury a meis mitzvah is deicha da avoda? That's of course by the mitzvah of nazir, which someone that has not allowed to drink wine or cut his hair or become tummy, the pasuk says, "Kol yimei hiziru l'Hashem," all the days that he's in nazir to Hashem. So it says, "Al nefesh meis lo yave," he shouldn't come in contact with any corpse. Now it says near that, it says, "Lo avev le'imay la'achev la'chisul le'itamalhem," that he should not make himself impure to his father, to his mother, to his brother, and to his sister. Now the question that's posed is that all these relatives that are delineated as specified in the pasuk are all included in al nefesh meis layavi. Why does it specify these? It already says any dead person. So in that, it's brought down in the Sifri that when it specifies his father, it sounds like, oh, only your father you're not allowed to be metami, but it seems like it's coming to exclude something else that you would be allowed to be metami. That's excluding for a meis mitzvah. When it says le'imoy, what's that coming to say? It can't be coming to teach regarding a mes mitzvah, because that you already know from when it says le'aviv, that you could already be metame for a mes mitzvah, even though you're a nazir. So the Sifri comes and teaches that if this nazir was also a kohen, where now he has two sanctities, that the chiddush is that even him, only for his mother he cannot be metame, but he could be metame to a mes mitzvah. Then when it says le'achiv, his brother, what's that teaching? That's teaching another chiddush, that even if he was not just a nazir and not just a kohen, but he was also a kohen gadol, he also, la'achiv lo yitam, it's his brother, he cannot be metame, but he could be metame to meis mitzvah. Now the last one, which is the one that our Gemara is quoting, is that, but what does achaisa, his sister, come to teach? So that is like the general rule that it's brought down many times in the Gemara, that if it has no application over here in the context of Nazir, where the Pasuk is talking about over there, then you apply it to other types of areas where you would not generally be metame. However, since it's a meis mitzvah, you would be, which is in the context of if someone else is going to slaughter his, to bring his carbon pesach, which is avodah, or to circumcise his son, where even in such a case, we would say that if you find a meis mitzvah, then you go ahead and you metame yourself and bury that person, and you don't go ahead and bring your carbon pesach. So we see that the burial of a meis mitzvah is deicha avodah, as we just quoted from Rashi, Masechtas Brachas, from v'lachaisai, from the extra word, and his sister, where we already worked our way through Nazir and Kain Gadol, so then we apply it to even when you're going to do the Avodah. So if that's the case, so Shabbos Shenitchem Ne'Avodah, as we said before, the Shabbos that gets overridden by the Avodah, you bring all these Karbanos on Shabbos, and the Din Shetei Kavuras Meis Mitzah Deicha, he says, so isn't it a Kavach Chaymer, that burial of a Meis Mitzah, of course, should be Deicha Shabbos, and therefore, it would apply the Kavach Chaymer. That was the back and forth. First it said, yes, you should go ahead and execute a murder on Shabbos because it's a Kal V'chaimer. Then the Braith says, maybe not, maybe you shouldn't. Why not? Because it's not really Kal V'chaimer. You find that Mes Mitzvah is Deich HaVeideh, but it's not Deich HaShabbos. So maybe also over here, regarding the execution of a murder, it's Deich HaVeideh, but not Deich HaShabbos. But then it goes back and says, no, maybe it should be Deich HaShabbos. What's that? That's because, what do you mean? Actually, Mes Mitzvah should also have the same Kal V'chaimer. And therefore, yes, everything that's Deich HaVeideh will be Deich HaShabbos too, because if HaVeideh is Deich HaShabbos, well, whatever is Deich HaVeideh should be Deich HaShabbos too. That's Talmud Lema, that's what the Braisa concludes. It says, but Lo Savaru, although that it would seem to be a bona fide Kal V'chaimer, but that's what the Pasuk comes to teach you, that in spite of that, that you don't go ahead and execute a murderer, even B'chol Mesh V'Seichem, even where there is a Besdin. And therefore, the Gemara concludes right now, by way of explanation of the Braisa, that again, so we don't have a source yet, that a say is deicha leisa say, sheish bekaris, as we had assumed to bring the raya, because it's not based on that, it's rather based on the kal v'chaimer that we would have thought that one could execute a murderer on Shabbos. And that's what the Pasuk teaches you, that no leisa v'ayesh b'chom esh v'seichem. Now the Gemara still continues to question the braisa. Now this that we had originally assumed, we brought in this braisa because we wanted to bring a raya from there, that we said that, why do we need a pasuk to say that it's forbidden to execute a murder on Shabbos? Because had it not been written, we would have thought to say, da'asi asay, that the positive commandment of a humus, which Bezin has a positive commandment to execute a murderer, v'dachil lois asay, and that should override the negative prohibition of havara, of creating a fire, or cooking the lead on Shabbos, which is, that's how they burn the insides of the one who's being executed. Now, my oina eina dekamer, so, according to the Havamina that we thought that it was going in the principle of Aseh Deicha Leis Aseh, so then how do we understand the back and forth of the Braisa that, oh, maybe not? How could we say that maybe it shouldn't override the Isser of cooking on Shabbos? Why would we say that it's not? It's Aseh Deicha Leis Aseh, because that's how we would, that's what we bring a raya from there. So that the Gemara says, this is what the Braisa was saying. So how do I understand the pasuk that whoever desecrates Shabbos, which includes the malachas of cooking and of making a fire, will surely die? That's b'shar malachas chutz mimisa bezin. That's how the Braisa opens up on the previous daf. That applies to other malachas, except for when bezin kills and executes somebody. Av mimisa bezin dochi Shabbos, but for bezin to execute somebody, that overrides Shabbos. They're allowed to cook and they're allowed to make a fire. And the reason is, again, this is how we had wanted the Braisa to be showing us that Raya, but then we said it's not, but we're going in that Havmin according to that assumption that we had thought originally. Because the positive commandment of executing will override the negative prohibition of Shabbos. And that Hada Amar, that's what the Braisa then goes and says, no, maybe not. Maybe even Mrs. Bezdin will not be Deicha the Lav of Shabbos. And the reason is, because it has Karis if you cook on Shabbos. When would I say that a positive commandment overrides a negative prohibition? That's leis asei greida. That's just a general negative prohibition that just has malchus if you violate it. Leis asei sheish bekaris misham leidadachi. Whoever heard of saying that an asei will be deicha leis asei, that such a strong leis asei that has karis? Hada amr. Now that's what the Braisa then responded back and says that no, it's not true. Without a pasuk saying to the contrary, we would say that the positive commandment of executing, for the, that Bezin should execute, should override even the leis asei sheish bekaris. And again, that's why we thought that was a raya, that's why we need Aleho by the context of Yavama, because we would have assumed that Asay of Yibum would be Dechad the Lois Eishes Bekaris, but again, we fell off of that and said it's not a Raya. It could be that the assumption was Kavuchim. But based on that, what we had thought, the Bryce responds, what do you mean? Atu Asay, Dechad Lois Eishes, do you think that the positive commandment, when it overrides the negative prohibition, Lav Lois Eishes Chamerminei, isn't the negative prohibition the more stringent of the two? Because as we find in the Darkei Tshuva, in the ways of someone should repent, and in the punishments that are inherent if one violates, the punishment of violating a negative prohibition is more severe than the positive commandment. If one violates the positive commandment, he doesn't get lashes, whereas if you violate even a regular negative prohibition, you get lashes. Hence, that's more stringent of the two. Yet still, v'kasi asei v'dochilei, still, for other reasons, which the Gemara is not telling us, that a positive commandment will override the negative prohibition. And if that's the case, so malichum rezuta, malichum rab, then what is the difference regarding a lesser of a stringency or a greater of a stringency? Either way, it's a loisa say. You're right, it's more severe, but who cares? We find that a positive commandment will override something more severe than it, which is a regular loisa say. So why shouldn't it override even a loisa shish bakaris? And that's how according to the Havmin, that's what the Gemara would have assumed without a pasuk, that Asay would be Deich Alei Seish Bekaras. Tamalayim Alei Savar. That's why I need a pasuk of saying that Alei Savar, even Mechomesh Vesechim, even where there's a Besen, and therefore it's not going to be Deich this Alei Seish Bekaras, but that we would have thought without a pasuk it would be, and that's why, again, we would have thought that you need to have Aleha. But again, the Gemara had proved on the top of this Amid from the previous Daf that it's not necessarily that was the assumption without the pasuk. It could have been based on the Kavu Chaima that we explained before. So now the Gemara resumes the discussion that we were having earlier on the previous daf, that we said that why did you need Leisavaru? Because had it not written Leisavaru, so then we would have brought it from a Kavu Chaima, that's why it could be Deicha, the Malacha on Shabbos. But not because that the positive commandment of a Humas will override the Leisavaru Bekaris. Now, if that's the case, so we're back to the original question. Why do we need Aleha? Why do we need, as the Braisa brought in the Gimel Mabeis, the drasha of Aleha to say that even in the context of Yibam, Achais Isha, or all those 15 Arayis are going to be forbidden, even in the context of Yibam? Well, of course. It's a Leis Ish Bekaris. We have thought that a positive commandment of Yibam will override a Leis Ish Bekaris, or in general, why do you need Aleha? Of course it's going to be forbidden. So the Gemara says, Ela Itzuch. Rather, the reason why you need a Leha to say that it's Aser is as follows. And the Gemara really opens up a new direction now. We don't have a source for Aser Deich Leis Ish Bekaris. The Gemara is going to say that, of course, generally, a positive command will not override Leis Ish Bekaris. However, we would have thought that still it would be permitted to take one of these 15 Arayis in the midst of Yibam. Because Salkat Eit Chamina, to have a high Eishes Ach, that we should thought that as follows. This wife of your brother, that it's one of the Arayas, one is not allowed to marry his brother's wife, that it was davar shehayu b'chalal, it's something that was in the general context of Arayas, as it says in the pasuk, ki kol asher yaseh mekol te'evos ha'elo b'nechrasu, all the Arayas are included in the punishment of Karas. Inclusive of that is one's brother's wife. Now, b'v'yatza min ha'klal olamid, now it came out of the general context to teach. What does it teach? It teaches that if his brother's wife if his brother dies, and his wife, and his brother doesn't have any children, so the halach is that then you could marry your brother's wife. Now, loy l'lamed al atzma yotze wasn't just coming to teach regarding the brother's wife itself. El l'lamed al klal kula yotze was coming out to teach you a lesson regarding all the arayis, that it's part of the arayis of forbidden relations. The time, like Linda Bright said, there was such a halachic concept of davar shehayu b'chalal, something that was in the general category, which is mentioned in the Braisa of Bishmol, and then it leaves that general to teach you a halacha, and now it doesn't just teach it for that specific case, it comes to teach you regarding all the general category, which if that would be the case, it would tell you that not only is Eishes Ach mutter if the husband dies without any children, but all the arayis would be permitted if the husband dies without any children, and hence we would need Allah to tell you that, no, they're forbidden. As the Braisa says, something that was in the general category, and then it went out on its own to teach a specific halacha. So the Bryce explains Ketzad. What would be an understanding and application of this halacha? It says a pasuk in Vayikra, v'hanefesh asher teichal basam mizebech hashlamim, that if a person will eat the flesh, the meat of a carbon shlamim, v'tumasay olav, and he'll have his tumah, he will have physical tumah. So that's what the pasuk says is forbidden, and he gets a punishment if he does that. Now the question is, v'alei shlamim b'chalal kachim hayu shlamim, which is one of the types of the karbanas, was already inclusive of the punishment of karas from all the karbanas if one goes ahead and consumes it in the status of a physical tumah. As it says in the pasuk, kol ish asher yikar mekol zarachem ala kachim ashikdishu, it talks about all kachim. So the question the Braisa says is v'lama yatsu, so why does it have a separate pasuk specifying shlamim regarding the isra of eating the carbon with a physical tumah? So it's coming to equate, to compare the shlamim to all these halachas, and to tell you ma shlamim yuchadim kachim mizbeach, just like shlamim is distinct in that it's a physical kedusha, that means it's a carbon that has sanctity that's brought onto the mizbeach. So to the halacha of the prohibition of consuming a kodshim, sanctified object, with a physical tumah, is only those that their kedusha is brought on the mizbeach, which is what a carbon is. Yatsu kodshim b'edek habayis, that comes to exclude those things that have the sanctity of hektish, but only for the upkeep, they only have like a monetary type of kedusha, that they're not brought on the mizbeach itself, where if one would consume them with a tumas haguf, he would be exempt. And that's why it goes out, but it's not coming to tell you just by shlamim. It's coming to teach a halacha regarding all the kachim. So if so, hachanam hiro so ha'eshes ach b'chlal kol arayis ha'isam. His brother's wife was inclusive in all the. It's just like all the other forbidden relationships. B'lama yatsa. So now, why is it goes out and it specifies yevama yavoy aleha that it's permitted for the brother, if his brother that just passed away died without any children, is allowed to marry her? Is coming to compare all the arayis to her and coming to tell you, ma eshes ach sharia, just like your brother's wife, which is an erva, is permitted if his brother dies without any children. Avkal arayis nami sharia, and so to all the old forbidden relationships, whether it's his daughter or whoever it is that's married to his brother and his brother dies without any children, is also permitted. And that's why you need a laha. Again, not based on how we were going in the previous daf on the principle of asidr chaloisi shish bekaris. For a different reason we would have thought. Because we're going to compare based on the halachic principle of the one, the Yud Gimel Midas, Shatari Najashabahan, that b'yasim naklal olam, and it comes to teaching not just for Eishes Ach, but for all the arayis. And that's why you need a laha. To say that it's not that key. Now the Gemara asks, me dami, can you really compare the halacha that we're discussing over here with Yibum of the 15 arayis to the halachic principle of davish hayu b'chlal, as we're seeing by the halacha of tumas haguf by kachim? Hasam, over there, for example, by the case that the Braisa brings down, by the isra of tumah by kachim, klal be'isra, the general category that was already mentioned in the general way, the prohibition of being metame, by being tame and consuming kachim, that was a prohibition. Uprat be'isra, and the specification of the shlam was also be'isra. Now, therefore, you could learn lama yatsa, so why did it go out on its own, is already included in all the kachim. So you say it comes out to teach you and reflect something regarding the whole category. But hacha, but here regarding arayis, klal be'isr, the general category is isr, where the pasuk says whoever has one of these intimate relationships is forbidden will get karas. But a prat beheter, the specification of eshes ach, of his brother's wife, is not the same line of isr. It goes out and says something different, something new, something about a permission of having this type of relationship, even though she's generally one of the arayis. And therefore, holy dummy, you can't compare that type of drasha, because it's not davashay b'chlal and then specifying something regarding the klal. It's something totally new that it's coming to say. Elo rather, which drasha would you compare it in the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrashas Behen to something totally different, to the davashay b'chlal, regarding something that was part of the general category. But then it comes out to teach you a whole new halacha. Whoever heard of one of the forbidden relationships, that then if happens to be that it was his brother's wife and he dies without any children, that then he could have a relationship with this forbidden erva. So it's a new thing. Where there the halacha is, where then you cannot return it to the general category. You cannot compare it to the klal, neither can you compare the klal to it. Until the pasuk specifically brings it back to the general category, only then can then you compare the two. And therefore, the Gemara is back to the question, even without Aleha, we would not have learned out other arayis that they would be permitted for Yibam, because this has nothing to do with Davashay B'chlal, the Yotzim Naklal, that the Lamed, that the Eishas Ach would come to reflect and teach regarding all the other Arayos. Actually, it's regarding a different halacha of Midas Shatir and Yashav Hen. It would be regarding Devar Chadash, a new thing where then they have no relation, and we would definitely not learn the other Arayos from the halacha of Eishas Ach. The time, like, learn the Braisa that there's this other halacha. Devar Shai Bachlal, something that was in the general category. The Yotzim Lidim Devar Chadash, and then one of them is specified regarding a whole new halacha. So you can't bring that one that was singled out to a new chiddush and bring it back to the general category until the pasuk specifically brings it back and says it will have the same halachas as the klal that it had gone out from. Okay, so what would be an application of this halacha? So there's a pasuk in Mayikra which talks about the carbon ashram that a mitzayra who is afflicted with tzaras brings. The pasuk says, B'shachat es hakeves, that he will slaughter the lamb, this is his carbon asham. B'mokam asher yishchat es hachatas v'esa oyle b'mkayim hakaydish, that in the same place where he slaughters the chatas and the oyle in the holy place. And the reason is, ki kachatas ha'asham hu l'kayin, because the chatas, the asham will be like a chatas for the kayin, which means to say that just like the halacha is by chatas, that it's brought in tzafin, in the holy place, so too will be the din for the carbon asham. The question the Braisa says is she'in tamalem kachatas ashem. Essentially, the pasuk is not really teaching you anything with these words that to say that the ashem should be just like the chatas. And the reason is because what exactly would we be learning from there? If it's coming to say that this ashem should be slaughtered in the north like the way of the azara as a chatas is, but it already says v'shachatas akeves b'makom eshiyishchatas chatas. It already says that you should slaughter it where you slaughter the chatas. And if it's coming to teach us regarding the blood applications and the consumption of the carbon, that it should be just like all other carbon ashamais, which is the same, but that's already included in Zois Teresa Ashem in Parashat Tzav. We already say that the Ashem has the same halachas in the Matan Dam and the consumption as Achatas is. So what exactly, Matam Lemek Achatas Ashem, so what exactly are we teaching you that the Ashem should be the same as Achatas? We know whatever halachas are already applicable by the Ashem. Those which regarding slaughtering, the pasuk already says, and regarding the other halachas of matan dam and consumption, we know halachas of Hashem. So that the Bryce explains, l'fisha yotza Hashem mitzayram, the Hashem of the carbon of the mitzayra went out. It was removed from the halacha of all the other Hashemas, lidim b'davar hachadosh, to learn and to judge it with a new type of halacha. Now, how did it go out? It went out beboyin yad beboyin regel hayamonis, and that is, they take the blood from the asham and they apply it to his thumb and to his big toe on his right side. Now, since it was yotzem achlalei, it went out from the general category of asham as bedavar chadash with a new halacha. So then yochel lo yehi toin matan dam bemum legam mizbeach. We wouldn't know that all the generic halachas that apply to asham would apply to this asham etzera because it was removed. You can't apply the other Hashemis to it, and neither can you apply it to the other Hashemis. So therefore, maybe the blood applications and the fats that are taken from the sacrificial parts of the carbon of the Hashem would not be put onto the Mizbeach. If you contain Tamid Beis, Tamid Lemid, that's what the Pasuk has to teach you now in Bayikra, ki chachatas ha'ashem, this Hashem will be like the chatas. And that is machatas to unum matandam b'murm l'gam mizbeach, just like machatas requires the blood applications and the sacrificial parts brought onto mizbeach, af asham toin matandam b'murm l'gam mizbeach, so this asham mitzayra also requires blood applications and the sacrificial parts on the mizbeach, again, because once it's excluded for a new chiddush, for a new novel halacha, we cannot bring it back until the pasuk specifically does, which it does in this case. Now, the conclusion is, but v'ilo yahadri kra, had the pasuk not brought it back as we just quoted, so how many we would have thought to say, l'mayde nafik, for what it was taken out for, and that is, it will have what the pasuk says, a chiddush regarding it, you'll have the blood applications on his behinois, on his thumbs, and his right toe, his big toe, but l'mayde nafik, l'nafik, but what it wasn't taken out for, we would have thought to say, that it won't have the blood applications, and they more. So Achinami, so the Gemara says, here also, Havamina, Eishas Ach de Ishtara Ishtaroi. We would have thought to say that no, the only one that was excluded here for a Davar HaChadosh is the brother's wife, that Erva. For that is permitted. Shah Rais Le. We would never have assumed to say that other Rais would also be, because to the contrary, it's not Davashai Bachlal, Biyotim Lakol Lalamad, and the teachers regarding all them to say that we would have thought all the Rais would also be permitted. It's a Davar Chadash, and therefore the Gemara is back to the question, why do you need Aleha? We would not have learned the other Rais from Eshesach, because that's a Davar Chadash. So El Rav, the Gemara continues trying to find an explanation of why we need Aleha to exclude Achis Ishta and all the other Rayas if there would have been no reason to assume that it would be permitted. We would have thought to say, Tesei b'mamatzinu me'eshasach. Mamatzinu is a halachic principle, like a hekesh. We would have thought to say that we would, mamatzinu literally means, what do we find? In other words, what do we find from the brother's wife, and whatever we find over there would seem to be the same by all the other Rayas. Because ma eshesach miyama, just like the brother's wife, you do yibum, even though she's an erva, of a chesisha tesyam, so too by chesisha, by the his, if it's his wife's sister, you also do yibum, because they're both arayis, and there it's permitted if he dies without any children, so here also. So you might ask, me dummy, can you really compare that? That's why I need aleha? Hasam chadisura, by the brother's wife, there's only one prohibition, which is his brother's wife. Hachatrei yisuri, here, this two, every other erva, besides Eshesach, will have automatically two. We'll have that it's his brother's wife, and one of the other arayas of Achais Isha, meaning, or the other one, or his daughter, whatever it is, it'll be another. So what would be the reason why we would have said Mamatzino? So that the Gemara says, we would have thought that we would compare it, and say that if Eshesach is permitted, the other arayas are also. Because Mao de Tema, we would have thought to say, Hoyel v'ishtri, since the Issa of Eshesach that was on this woman is permitted when his brother dies without any children, Ishtri, then also the additional Isra of Achais Isha, which is his wife's sister, or his daughter, or his mother-in-law, or any one of the 15 Arayas, would also be permitted. And Avi Gemara says, "Manot Tamer Damrin and Hoyel v'Ishtri Ishtri." Where do you know that there's such a halachic concept that we say? We're saying that's totally different. Eishes Ach has just one Isra. Here you want to say that we would have thought to say that all the other Arayas also that, because if Isser Eishes Ach is permitted, well then also the other Yisroom that she has on her, his daughter, his wife's sister, would also be permitted. So Gemara says, where do you find such a halachic concept that once we permit one of the Yisroom, that all the other Yisroom will also be permitted? So the Gemara says, the Tanakh learned a Braisim. Regarding a Mitzayr, now Rashi Masechtas Pesachim explains the context of this halacha. It says, regarding a Mitzayr that he immersed himself, which that's the halachic process of his purification. So he goes and he immerses himself in the mikveh, and he has sundown on the seventh, after the seventh day. Now, on the eighth day of his purification process, he goes into Machna Levia. And that is, there's three different camps regarding halachas of Tara. There's Machna Shchina, which is in the spheres of the in Yerushalayim. It's the Beis Hamikdash, and then there is the Machna Levia, which is the Harabayis, and then you have the Machna Yisrael, which is Yerushalayim. So regarding the Mitzayra, on the eighth day, he's allowed to enter into Machna Levia, and he goes to Shar Nikuna. Now, Shar Nikuna is the gate going into the place which has the halacha of Machna Shchin of the Beis HaMikdash, but it wasn't sanctified with the Kedusha of the Azar. As it says in the Pasuk of Meyuk Yudalin, it says, the Behemet HaKoyin HaMetahar, that the Koyin that will purify will place as a Ish HaMitahar, the person who is purifying himself, and then lifnei Hashem. Now, in the Azara itself, the Mitzayr wouldn't go. Rather, he would stick his hand in to the courtyard area, which again is Machne Shchina, so that he could get his behinos, his thumbs inside. And the reason is because a Mechusik Kippurim, someone that's lacking atonement, which is what the Mitzayr is on the eighth day, he still has to bring his karbanos on the eighth day. So he's not allowed to enter into Machne Shchina. As the Gemara says himself, this Makas and the Chesem Abeis, it says in the Pasuk, Tamei Yi, he'll be Tamei, which comes to include even a Tful Yaim, someone that had already immersed himself, but didn't have a sundown. And then when it says even more, Oid Tamas Abay, that also his Tamei will be on him, it includes even if he had sundown, he's not just a Tful Yaim anymore, but he's Mechusik Kippurim, he's lacking atonement, even on the following day, on the eighth day. That if he comes into the Beis HaMikdash, he'll be liable for Karas. So that's the context of the case we're talking about over here in the Braisa. We're talking about a Mitzayra, Shechal Shmini Shaloi. So as we just explained, on the eighth day is the day when he brings his karbanas. And he has to come to the Har HaBayis, to the Temple Mount. And he stands in the Shar Nikuner, in the gate, which is in going into the Azara. And he has to stick his hands into the Azara, as we said, so that they could put from the blood on his thumbs. Now, although the halacha is that a mitzayra is actually sent out of all three camps, he can't even come into Yerushalayim, into Machne Yisrael, but on his eighth day, it's permitted for him to come into the two camps of Machne Yisrael and Machne Leviyah, which allows him to come into the Temple Mount. But as we said, into the Azar, into the courtyard, he's not allowed to go in, as recorded from the Gemara Masechtas Makas Davchas. Now, however, he can't be out of the Azar, because the blood cannot go out of the Azar, because then it becomes possible of Yaitzi, of coming out of the place where the blood of the carbon is allowed to be. So what he does is he sticks his hand in what's called Bia B'miktas, a part of the way, which is just to get at least his hands in, to get his thumb in over there. Now, that's not considered Bia regarding the halacha of Mitzayra, and therefore, it's sprayed on him over there as he's standing there in Sha'ar Nikana with his thumbs inside. That's the halacha, the generic halacha that applies to Mitzayra on his eighth day. Now, the Baraisa continues and says, so this Mitzayra, that his eighth day, and we just explained the process that he generally does, if it falls out and it happens to be that it's Be'erev Pesach on Erev Pesach, and moreover, another variable is V'rod carried by Bayam. Now, just to top it all off, he has a seminal emission on that day. Now, Rashi explains the reason why we picked that type of a tumah, and we didn't pick a tumah of, let's say, by mistake, he touched a sheretz, or a nevela, a carcass, dead animal, is because the tumah of sheretz, and even the tumah if someone touches a mace, a dead person, they're allowed to come into the Har Bais, into the Temple Mount. As the Gemara explains on Pesachim, Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, that it says, V'yikach Moshe's Atzmas Yosef Imo, that Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef with him, and Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi, he was a Machne Leviyah, and therefore you see that he was able to bring a dead body into Machne Leviyah. So that wouldn't be a problem if he became Tamei Mace, but rather he became Tamei from a seminal mission. Now, the Shari Nikunar, where that's where the Mitzvah usually stands, that, as we said, does not become sanctified with the Kiddush of the Azar, as the Gemara says over there in Pesachim Daf Pehem and Beis. Rather, has the halacha as the Har Bais itself. So, a Tamei Mace would be allowed in over there. And therefore, that wouldn't interfere with what the Mitzvah has to do to become pure. But what throws off this case is that a Baal Keri, someone has a seminal mission, has to be sent out of two camps, not just Machne Shechina, which is the Azara, but he has to also be sent out of Machne Leviyah, which is the Har Bais that the Mitzvah has to come into on his eighth day. And that's because he has the same halacha as a Zav, as the Gemara there explains in Eilu Dvarim, that Zav, a Chol Zav, comes to include a Baal Keri. So we have a problem over here, because the Mitzvah has to go ahead and purify himself. And this on his eighth day, he has to go ahead and bring his thumbs in. But a Baal Keri cannot go into even the Har Bais, that can't come even onto the Temple Mount to get into the Shari Nikonor, which is all allowed you would be able to go into the Har Bais. So now, this Baal Keri is a Tavel. He immerses himself for his Keri. Now, but he's still a Tvul Yom. He's not purified yet until sundown. So Amar Chachamim, the sages said, Afapish ain't Tvul Yom Acher. Now, although there's no other Tvul Yom, which means to say that you purify today. So you're quasi-tameh, quasi-tahar, if you're a Baal Keri. Now, no other Tful Yom is nichnas, could go into the Har Bais. Because as we explained before, the Tful Yom, someone that was immersed, who is this quasi-tahar, quasi-tameh, he still has halacha of tumah regarding truma and kachim and to go into the temple, into the Beis HaMikdash. So although there's no other Tvul Yom that could go into the Har Bais, because of Baal Keri, who even though he's a Tvul Yom, for the halachas of going to the Mikdash is still considered Tameh, and he cannot go into the Har Bais, Zeh Nichnas. This case, we will allow him to go into the Har Bais, so that he can get his thumbs to the Shaar Nikonor, and thereby become Tarif and his Tzaras, so that he could be able to eat the Karban Pesach in the evening. Because if he never gets a chance to get his thumbs in there, he'll be Tamei because of his Tzaras. And the logic is as follows. Mutav Sheyave Asei Sheyesh Bekaris. It's better that a positive commandment, that's a very severe positive commandment, that if one does not fulfill it, he gets Karis, which is what the Halacha of the Karban Pesach is, because if he's not going to be able to get his hands, to get his thumbs in over there, he won't become pure to be able to eat his Karban Pesach in the evening. So let that come, v'yitcha asei, and override the positive commandment, which is a positive commandment of the Yishalchu min HaMachna, to send the Baal Keri out of the Har Bais, is a positive commandment, shame by Karis, where it doesn't have a punishment of Karis. And that is because only regarding coming into the Azara. That would be a punishment of Karis if the Baal Keri would come. Now, he's not going to the Azara, as we said. He's only coming to the gate of Nikonor, which opens up into the Azara from the Har Habayis, which wasn't sanctified. And he'll stick his hands into the Bahainas. He'll become Tara from his Tzaras. Then he'll be able to send his Karban Pesach to the Azara to become slaughtered. And the evening, when it's sundown, then he'll already be Tara from his Keri because it will already be sundown. And then he'll be able to eat his Karban Pesach. So although you're right, generally, a Baal Keri cannot go into the Har Habayis, but in this case, we'll say that since it's only an Aseh She'im B'Karis, the Aseh of Karis of Karban Pesach will override that and allow him to go there to become Tahar, to then be able to have his Karban Pesach at night. Now, for Amar B'Yechon, Rabbi Yechon actually said, and truth is, Dvar Torah, biblically, Afila Aseh Lespe, this problem of the Zah, of the Baal Keri, coming onto Har Habayis, which we have to override it, is actually, there's not even a positive commandment even. And that is Shanem, like it says the pasuk in Dibur Yom Beis, it says Vayamid Yehoshafet Bekal Yehuda, that Yehoshafet stood in the assembly of the Judea, of the Jewish people. Now that day, the Jewish people were becoming tahar from their tumah that they had, and they were tumah with. And it says that he stood there lifnei haChatzar haChadash in front of the new courtyard. Now my Chatzar haChadash, what does it mean the new courtyard? So Rabbi Yechanan, he says Shechitshu Batvarm, it means regarding the Azara. They created a novelty, a new halacha on that day. V'amru, what did they say? Tful yom lo yikanis l'machna levia. A tful yom, someone that immersed himself that day, is not allowed to go into l'machna levia, which is Har Habayis. And therefore, essentially, it's not even such a chiddush, this halacha of allowing this Baal Keri, that's a mitzvah on his eighth day, to purify himself, in spite of the fact that a Baal Keri is not allowed to go on, it's not even so much even a say of that has karis, should be teicha that asay that doesn't have karis, because it's not even asay that doesn't have karis, it was a later institution, it's not even a biblical halacha. So that's why it's allowed. Now, the Gemara comes to the main point, what it wants to bring a proof from. Va'amar Ula said in Masechta Zevachim, Ma'atam, what's the reason? Now, as Rashi explains, there was a problem over here that we didn't solve yet. Although we took care of the problem about coming into the Har Habayis, which that's a say that has karis, will be deicha the asay she'im b'karis, and maybe it's not even a say because it was a later institution. But Ula says there's a different problem. He says, Bia b'miktas, halfway coming into an area, is also considered coming in. Now, the question they asked on Ula was from this halacha that we're discussing right now. Regarding this halacha, we said that a mitzayra, that's also a tful yom of a keri, says that he could come in, and he could also stick his hands, because that was the whole purpose, what we're trying to get to, is he could stick his thumbs into the Azara. Now, if you say, as Ula said, Bia b'miktas shma bia, that partly coming into an area is considered you entered, well, although we took care of the problem about how we're getting the Baal Keri onto the Har Habayis, because it's only in Asay She'im B'Karish, or maybe it's not even the positive commandment, but the problem is, how could he stick his thumbs into the Azara? Because for either one, a mitzayra, and for a Baal Keri, that is an asay that has karis. That violation, although it's a positive commandment, has a punishment of karis. As the Gemara brings in Masechtas Menachos, Dav Chazayin Mabez, that a mechusik kipurim, someone that's lacking atonement, which is what this mitzayra is on his eighth day, if he comes into the mikdash, his punishment is karis. Now, you don't have to say that a tful yom of keri and other tameim, for sure, because they're more severe in Tumah. Mechusik Kippurim already had his tefillah, already had his hair of shemesh, he just didn't have his carbon. And still we say, Mechusik Kippurim, if it goes into the Machne Shechina, into the Azara, he's going to get a punishment of Karis. So all the more so the other ones. And therefore the question is, how can we let this case happen? How can this Baal Keri, we know he can get into the Har Habayis, but how can he stick his thumbs in if that's considered partly entering into the Azara, and that's considered a full entry? So Ula answered, this case of Mitzvah is different. What was his answer? He says, Hoyel b'hutter, since it was permitted from the Torah to, for a part entry, letzaratoi, for his tzaras, because he's still a mechusik kippurim, and there would be a punishment of karis, even for the Mitzvah himself. In spite of that, the Torah says you're allowed to. The Torah says, how do you purify the Mitzvah? By throwing some blood on his thumb and his big toes. Now, how do you do that? That Mitzayrik is Mechusik Kippurim, he cannot come into the Azar. Well, you can't take the blood out of the Azar because that's taking the blood out of the area where it's allowed to be, and then it will become possible from Yaitse. So the Torah obviously allows it and overrides it and says you're allowed to get your thumbs in there. Oh, so you're allowed to get your thumbs in there. So hutter, then it's also becomes permitted likiruya for his tumas carry. And therefore the Gemara says, you see this principle, that once one Issa becomes permitted, which is the Issa of Mechusi Kippurim of Mitzayra, then we also allow the other Yisroim that are piled onto that too. And therefore, like you pull one out, they all come crumbling down. If we allow the Mitzayra to stick his thumb in, even though he's Mechusi Kippurim, oh well, then we could also allow the Balkari, who's also prohibited from Aseh Shish Bekaras, to also stick his thumb in. And therefore, the Gemara says, we would have thought to say that just like by Eishes Ach is permitted, so even though Achis Isha and Bita and Chamois and all these other Arayas have not just one Issa but two Issa, but it doesn't make a difference. Hayav Ishtri, since one is permitted, as we find by the Halacha of Yim, then they're all permitted, as we find from this principle that the Gemara just brought now from Ula, that once it's permitted for his Tzeras, it's permitted for his Keri too also. And therefore we need to have a Leha to say that no, the other Arayas are forbidden. The Gemara asks, can you really compare the case we're discussing by these 15 women without rayas to the case that Ula was discussing? And we continue on top of Chesamid Alf. You know when it would be comparable? In the case of where the brother who died, he married this woman first, which makes for his brother, makes his wife, into the erva of Eishes Ach, which is his brother's wife. Then, the living brother, meaning the Yavam, the one that didn't die, then he married the sister. Now, then you adding on the Issa of Achis Isha onto this Yavama, onto this woman, and therefore you'll say that, okay, so when his brother dies without any children, and it's permitted the Issa of Eishes Ach, that was the precedent that was there first, then you could say, similar to Ula, the Migur, the Ishtri Issa Eishes Ach, once we're permitting the Issa of Eishes Ach, then you could also allow the later placed Isser of Achais Isha, which was like Ula's case. That he said that since it permitted the Tzeras for the person Tzeras, which was the first Isser he had, because already by his eighth day, and he's allowed to stick his thumb in, so then it permitted for the Keri, which came later on. So you're right, that would be comparable. However, but if the living one married his wife first, that made the wife of his brother who's dying now, that Eishes Hameis, made her first Ister she ever had was that she was his wife's sister, Achis Ishtar. And only V'achikach Nos Hameis, and only afterwards did his brother who died now marry his sister-in-law, and then, so it was added on to Achis Ishtar, was added on the Ister of Eishes Ach. Well, the problem is, over there in that case, Ister Achis Isha called him. What came first? The Isser of his wife's sister. Now, although the later Isser of Eishes Ach is permitted in the context of Yibam, but the original one still remains there, almost like if you would be piling them up. So if you pull out the bottom one, they all come crashing down. But that's only if it's the first one. But in the way we just described it now, the first one was not Eishes Ach, it was Achais Isha, and therefore the later Eishes Ach. So you take that off, fine, but the previous one will still be forbidden. It's not comparable to Ula's case. But moreover, the Gemara asks, the truth is, no, even if the brother who died, if he married his wife first, which means to say that the Isser Eishes Ach came first, it's still not comparable to Ula. Because over there, in the case of Ula, when the person has the seminal emission on his eighth day of Tahara from his Tzeras, essentially he was already permitted to stick his thumbs in from the original Isser of the Tzeras before he had the seminal emission, because once it became sunlight on the eighth day, he was already allowed to stick his thumb, and he just didn't get there yet. And then, sometime before he got there, on his way, let's say, walking there, then he had that Riav Keri. So here also, Tenach Hechad Nasa Mesa Meis, so you would be comparable to a case where if the brother that died, if he married first, and then he died first, which means to say, and then it was permitted to Issa of Eishes Ach, and only then, only after his brother died, only then did the living brother, who we call the Yavam, marry the sister, the Chazile, the Beni Beni, where at some point you had permission, it was totally permitted because the brother died, and he wasn't even related to that woman yet, he didn't, besides the Issa of Eishes Ach, he didn't marry the sister yet, and then he married the sister, then you would say, in such a case, that the Issa of Achis Ishtar would be permitted, because that would be exactly like the case of Ula, where in the morning of the eighth day it was already permitted, and then you went and had carry, then you say that at least since at some point it was totally permitted, then the new addition will go ahead and be permitted too also. Which would be the same if you have the Isser Eishasach, and then it's permitted, and then you marry Chesich, and then it's permitted. But El Anasim, Meis Voi Meis, but in the case of where the brother that died got married, and he didn't die, V'achikach Nosachai, and then the living brother married the sister. And only then did he die. Well, lo yichazir leklal. There was never a time period when it was totally permitted, and therefore milay ma'idi ula, wouldn't ula agree in his application? Shemra kari balil shemini, which is correlating to this type of case, that if let's say he had the seminal emission on the night of the eighth day, she'ed machnes yadav, that the following day he would not be able to stick his thumbs in libahinois to get his thumbs in with the blood. And the reason is because his tumah of keri would prevent him from doing that. And the reason is because shelo yotza, because he never had a moment that he was removed from his tzaras, b'shoshi ru'i lehevi b'karbon, at a time that it was permitted for him to bring a carbon. Because before he became permitted from his tzaras, already the keri came on him. And therefore the Gemara is asking, how could you compare this halachic principle that ula was mechadish of kivin the ishtri? Oh, once one is permitted, then all the additional ones were permitted also. We have all these questions and saying, but that's a very specific type of a case that Ula was saying. First of all, it has to be that Eishes Ach came first, so that it should be the same as Ula's case where the Tzaras came first, which those are being permitted. But not if Achay Sisha came first. And moreover, not only should Eishes Ach come first, but now it has to come first and be permitted, like Ula's case where the Tzaras was permitted already in the morning of the eighth day, and only then afterwards did the Keri come, and only then afterwards can the Achay Sisha come. And therefore, how could you compare and say that we would have thought to say that's going to be permitted by the Arais, let's say specifically by Chais Isha, because of Kivin Dishter Ishtri? That's not in all the cases. It would only be specifically in the case of Nasa Meis Umeis V'achkach Nasachai. So like Mar says, you're right. We wouldn't have thought that these Arais would be permitted, let's say by Chais Isha. Ela Ki Isra Chaleha. When did we need Aleha from the Braisa that we would have thought to say that a Chais Isha would be permitted? That's only Hechad Nasameis Umeis Vachkach Nasachai. It actually would only have been in that case where if the brother who died married the woman that's his wife first, and then he died, and therefore the brother is permitted and Mechuyiv in the midst of Yibim, and only then did the living brother, the Yavim, marry the sister and then create an Isra of a Chais Ishtai, then we would have said, exactly like Ula's case, that kivin the ishtri, that once it's permitted, eishes ach would be permitted achayis ishtri, and that's when you'd allow to tell you that no, in such a case, although the halachic principle of hayal b'ishtri should say that it's permitted, Allah comes to tell you that isha alachayis lisikach, you cannot take the wife's sister, even though it's Allah in the context of yibum, and therefore that's one teretz the Gemara brings, why we need Allah in a specific case of nasa meis v'achkach nasachai.